Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue with the help of the Lord on the seven methods of Bible study. And we wish to consider the last one today, although we will certainly not be able to finish it with this broadcast. And the last method of Bible study is dispensational. Now, we have already considered in the course of our studies, there's a devotional study of the Word of God, and that brings before us the person of the Lord. There's a doctrinal study, which brings before us the principles of the Lord. There's a practical study, which brings before us the provision of the Lord. There's a historical, which brings before us the mercies of the Lord. There's a typical, which deals with the magnification of the Lord through types. There's a prophetical, which is the schedule of the Lord, and the dispensational, the order of the Lord. Now, please do not be afraid of that multi-syllable word, dispensational. It sounds so learned, so theologically incomprehensible, that we're not going to be able to grasp it. Yes, we will. The word dispensation, as defined in Strong's Unabridged Concordance, is this. They define it as an administration of a household or a state. It's a religious economy, a dispensation, a stewardship. And I like that word, stewardship. It kind of clears it up for me. Now, the word in the Greek, the word dispensation of the Greek, and it's used a number of times in the scripture, is oikonomio. Oikonomio. Now, you noticed in the definition that I read to you, it says a religious economy. One wonders if the word economy was just simply transliterated from the Greek to the English, because it sounds so much like it. Oikonomia. And, well, I'll tell you, I think we can probably gain a better sense of the meaning of the word dispensation to hear Paul using it. So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures in which Paul uses the word dispensation. Now, do you notice, please, that it's a stewardship, and it has an administration of a household or a state. Well, let me tell you, these dispensations are different divisions, different economies in the human family. And the steward is the one who assumes the responsibility to carry out the will of God in this. Paul was a steward. He had that dispensational responsibility placed upon him. Now, let's read how Paul uses the word in the ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 17. Here's the way he uses it. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, Paul has been talking about his right and his apostleship and his authority to speak out the word of God. Now, he's not doing this for his own aggrandizement. He's just simply telling these people, God told me to write these things and to teach these things. And he was faithful to his responsibility. Now, he says, if I do this thing willingly, if I carry out the will of God willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, the dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, and I've failed in my commitment. Now, that dispensation is the stewardship, it's the responsibility of carrying out the will of God. Now, I think that will probably help us to understand and appreciate that these things occur in the family of God as their life is conditioned upon the earth through these different dispensations. The order of things as God creates them. That's what we said at the beginning of the broadcast. It's the order of the Lord. And that we might indeed, accord to each dispensation its proper rendering, its proper understanding, and its proper arrangement in the economy of God. Now, that's a lot of words, isn't it? All right, let's name the dispensations. The dispensation of innocence, back in the Garden of Eden, conscience, human government, promise, law, grace, and the millennium. There's seven of them. Now, I don't expect you to understand these until we get into them. I just read them to you to let you know where we're going. Now, let's consider, if you please, the dispensation of innocence. We have to go clear back to the first chapter of Genesis. And I'm going to be reading in verse 28, and I encourage you to read these things out of the Scripture for yourselves. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. I should have read verses up ahead of this. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now that is a stewardship. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. All right, now we see immediately what the dispensation is. This was all rendered Adam by Adam in his innocence. He had not sinned, and yet he's given these responsibilities. His only responsibility was to obey. Now in verse 28 we read, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every green bearing herb, seed rather, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Now here we see all animal life was herbivorous. They ate of the herbs. They were not carnivorous till after the fall. And then the carnivorous beasts had to feed upon flesh. All right, now here we go on. And we'll go on to the 15th verse of the second chapter of Genesis. Here it is. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it. And the Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And I skipped a chapter there. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air. And Adam brought them unto Adam, God brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam named them, that was the name of the creature. Okay, now we'll not go farther in this chapter, because we have already covered the ground in the typical study of the scripture, where we magnified the Lord by the many types and shadows that of the coming Lord. And did you notice when I read these titles off to you, they're all about the Lord. They'll occupy us with the Lord, our responsibility to him. Now notice please that after they were created in the third chapter of Genesis, we read there, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here was Satan. Satan in that serpent, controlling that serpent. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. The first lie of the scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ calls Satan the liar and the father of it. Here it is, Satan lying to her. God had said, You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of that garden. The day you eat of it, you die. Okay? God doth know. Now he's giving her a temptation. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now I want you to get the inference here. God's holding out on you. He's not giving you all of his goodness. Isn't that an accusation by Satan? Certainly it is. All right, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now I want you to know how quickly this worked. He said, if you eat thereof, you will have the knowledge of good and evil. All right? They immediately realized they were naked. And they tried to cover up their mistake with fig leaves. Now, if you please, they had a conscience. God had given them a conscience. They got that when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A conscience to discern between the two. And God has given man a conscience ever since that day. He was born with a conscience to know the good and to do it and to shun the evil. All right? Now God came into the garden in the cool of the day and he wanted to commune with them. Adam hid himself. God said, Why did you hide yourself? Why are you not in my presence? I'm going to read them in the scripture. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? God knew that he had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now he went into another dispensation, the dispensation of conscience. And now that was to control him. But will it control him? Well, we just have to wait for the next broadcast. And we will see there the dispensation of conscience. Will you please tune in? Our Father, today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you will make these things plain to our hearts, that we might glorify God in all of this. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.